I was reading a message the other day, and the preacher was talking about the rewards that people were going to get when they got to heaven. And so I asked the question, are there degrees in glory? Will people have, some folks have more stars in their crowns than other ones will? Will some people have a bigger mansion than somebody else will? Will somebody receive more from Christ than somebody else did? Well, look what it said here. Start back up at verse 27 of chapter 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And this is what people ask, what shall we have therefore? How are you going to reward us? How are you going to pay us? What are we going to get for all we've done for you? We've left everything. Surely we're going to get something special. And our Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 tribes, thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he goes on to say, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into the vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he went about the third hour, saw others standing in the market. Go, I'll give you whatever you want. He done this till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And they got down to payday. He's going to pay them all that afternoon. And then it says that, you know, in verse 10, they became about 9, were hard about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. So they worked 1 hour. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. The first one that went to work, 6 o'clock in the morning. That fellow went in 5 o'clock in the afternoon, lined up to get paid. Started giving them all a penny. That first one, they paid that last fellow first. Paid the 11th hour worker first. That first one that said, we should have received more. And when they received it, got their penny, they murmured against the good man of the house. You notice it says the good man of the house. Saying, this last have wrought but 1 hour, and you made them equal unto us. That's not fair. We've labored and labored and labored, and we've borne the burden of heat of the day. And you've made them equal to us. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Ain't that what they agreed to when they went out? Take that eye and thine is and go thy way. I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil? You going to find fault with me because I'm good? Because I give the last the same that I give the first, that I make no distinctions. That is, all the thing belongs to me to start with. You agreed the way I wanted to do it. So what's so you upset with me about? You gonna find fault with me? Because I'm good, are you gonna be evil? And that's why he says, so the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Well, was there degrees here? You know, preachers have devised a scheme, devised a way to motivate people. to be faithful. Found out ways to make them, motivate them to be faithful to the church, faithful to the Lord, faithful to give, faithful to win souls, faithful to be so-called holy. I know that church we got excluded from. Oh, they were strong on this rewards business. Oh, they were strong on it. The preacher said, you know, that God's going to put him over 10 cities and one of them's going to be Jamestown. He's going to make everybody count out of him. What is it? What is this that they've used to motivate people to be faithful? To give, to win souls, to be so-called holy, live holy lives. What is it? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a system of rewards that the Lord's going to give to His people. And they say this, the more you do for God, the more stars you'll get in your crown. The better you are here on this earth, the better you'll be rewarded in glory. And you know, they name all the crowns that you'll get to receive. And they say that some of them say if you can win 5, some say 7. And there's some folks that want to win all of them. And the last crown to be won is the martyr's crown. And you know how many books have been written on this subject? How many sermons have been preached about how those who lived careless and didn't serve God very well here will cry at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ with tears? And in the millennium, when Christ comes to set up this 1,000-year reign and start giving everybody their rewards, there'll be ghettos and there'll be slums for those who weren't faithful. You won't get to live with the faithful. You won't get to be in the same place they are. I remember Brother Henry saying one time that a preacher friend of his told him one time about a wealthy lady. She told us, he's telling this story, was a Christian. And he heard him preach one time, in my father's house are many mansions. But also there are shacks up there and small houses. But the mansions are just for the best. Those who've done the most. Well, she died and she went to heaven. The first mansion she came to, she said, oh, boy. She said, boy, this is nice. Oh, this is nice. And she said, that's mine. The Lord said to her, no, nope, that's not yours. Well, whose is it? He said, that's your cleaning ladies. That's your cleaning ladies. Showed her a little old white house over here with a picket fence. He said, who's this? He said, this is yours. She said, I don't understand. He said, well, this is all the material you sent up here to build with. And we've all heard that stuff. We've all heard that stuff. And I'll tell you something, beloved, that's an abomination. That's abominable. To God Almighty, it's a disgrace to the grace of God. It's of the flesh and it's sinful preaching. It's sinful preaching. And I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I don't believe there are degrees in glory. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why I don't believe that one person will get any more stars in their crown than anybody else will. I believe that we'll all get exactly what Christ promised to give us. And we'll all get the same. I believe that. All of God's children, now listen to me, all of God's children were given to Christ. Were we not given to Christ? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Father, you gave them to me, and I've kept them, and I've lost not a one of them. Those that you gave me, they've received your word. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And then they were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did one man cost more than another man? Did Christ's blood cost more for some than it did for others? So we were all redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us were loved by Him. He loved me, said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which in Christ. So in glory, they're going to all be the same. They're all loved the same. There'll be no distinctions in heaven. There'll be no rich. There'll be no poor. There'll be no distinctions in glory. You may have a big house here, but when you get there, you'll have, every one of us will have just exactly what we're supposed to have. There are no distinctions in glory. We'll leave every bit of that stuff here. And by the grace of God, we leave it now. We don't make any distinctions now, but in the grace of God and the gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you the first reason why I don't believe there's any degrees in glory. First is this: Christ is my reward. Christ is my reward. What in the world can you compare to Him? Huh? Look over in Genesis 15. Look in Genesis 15. With me for just a moment. You know, everything becomes dim in light of Him. Huh? I remember years ago that a preacher was preaching. And he was preaching along these lines, and he was preaching in a church where the preacher believed in this reward system. And he got to dealing with this stuff, you know, that Christ is, you know, I don't want anymore. He's all in all. That, you know, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ, and Christ is all. And that, when the preacher got through preaching, that pastor stood up and said, "You mean to tell me that all my preaching, that all my praying and all my sacrifice ain't going to amount to no more than anybody else's?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm telling you." And that preacher never got to preach there ever again. He didn't like that. But look what he said here in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." You know what Abraham and I are looking for? That place where God built a city, where Christ is the light of that place. Everything, you start talking about reward, and you start talking the light of Him, everything becomes dim. To see Him, to go to be with Him, to see Him, to be made like Him, to enjoy Him throughout eternity. What? That's all I want. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when He doth appear, we shall see Him as He is." And you know what else it said? "And we'll be just like Him." Huh? What's a crown compared to Him, who is the crown of glory Himself? What can you have better than the Lord Jesus Christ? David said, "I'll be satisfied. I'm a king. I sit on a throne. I've got a crown. I'm beloved." They make songs about me. They talk about David slaying his 10,000s. They dance in the street when I come through town. The women dance and make news and make music and have a wonderful time. I said, "I'll tell you, I'm the king. And I've got anything my heart's desired." But He said, "You know what? When I'll be satisfied, not with the throne, not with the crown, not with a lot of wives, not with a lot of money, not with people singing songs about me. I'll be satisfied when I walk in your likeness." Oh, beloved, anything that takes your desires, your love for Him, cannot be of God. That take your eyes off of Him. You know these fellows that preach saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost? Tell you to live good, holy lives, and you know, dedicate yourself and all. Anything that makes you look to anything other than Christ is not of God. And rewards cannot possibly be of God. Secondly, why there's no degrees in glory: our service to the Lord Jesus Christ and our commitment to Him is both motivated not by law, but by love. Huh? Not for us to gain something personal. What can you have more than Him? And let me show you what I mean. Look over here in Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at this together. You know, we've looked at this so many times, but in Galatians chapter 5, look what the apostle said here. Our service to the Lord Jesus Christ is motivated not by law, but by love to Him. And not in order to gain something personal. That's what Satan accused Job of. He said, you know, When the Lord Jesus Christ, or when the sons of God met together to pray, and they met together to worship God, Satan appeared up there. And God said to Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the great deceiver. He's the great archangel. He's the angel of light, the roaring lion, and the accuser of the brethren. And he came up there and he said, God said, you considered my servant Job? Oh, yeah, yeah. Said, he fears me, he loves me, and he'll choose all evil. He said, I'll tell you why he does that. Because you have blessed him so much. You gave him so much money. You gave him all these children. You gave him all this property. And you not only that, but you put a hedge around him. He's only serving you because of what you give him. And if you take it away from him, he'll cuss you to your face. That's what Satan accuses the Lord's people of. That we're doing it for mercenary purposes. Are you serving God for mercenary purposes? Are you serving him and you serving the Lord Jesus Christ and loving him and calling on him because you think you're going to get some great big reward out of it? Going to get some great big blessings because you do something more than somebody else does? Well, God smote everything that Job had. Take everything he's got. What happened? Job shaved his head, got down in the dust and said, the Lord gave, the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and he worshiped. Oh my, look what it said here in Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. The faith that works by love. Huh? You see, beloved, the servant, he works in the house. And he works in it for a reward. But the son of love, that son who is a son of love, a son, he inherits. He don't work for what he gets. He inherits. And we're sons of God and we inherit what we get. We're not going to work for it. We don't have to work for a reward. Everything's ours by inheritance. And look again over here. Just go back to your left. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Look at this. You know that? Law, I don't do what I do out of fear of not getting something from the Lord or to get a great blessing. I used to do that. I used to be worried about, and preachers would tell you, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, God will do this to you and God will do that other thing to you. Preacher told me one time, he said, if I didn't change my message, didn't change the way I was doing, called me a bit of a heretic because I started believing in salvation by grace and election and redemption by the blood of Christ for his people. He said, God's going to kill your children if you don't straighten up and quit preaching that heresy. I said, good. He'll go be with the Lord. He said, oh, God will kill your wife. I said, good, she'll go be with the Lord. He said, God will kill you. Then all of us are going to be with the Lord. He got so mad he couldn't understand this. But he was trying to motivate me by fear. Trying to motivate me to think that God was going to do something against me because I wasn't in his little basket. Because I wasn't in his little legalistic system. Because I wasn't in his little reward system. And oh, look what it said here, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constrains us. Oh, the love of Christ constrains us. What constrains us? A reward? A blessing? A fear of being punished for something we said or done or some way we acted? And because here's why the love of Christ constrains us, because this is the judgment we've come to, that if one died for all, if Christ died for all his people, then all were dead with him. They all died with him. We're dead to this reward system. We're dead to it. And I tell you, beloved, the servant, he works. But the son, he's an heir. Everything he gets, he inherits. And let me tell you something else, back over in our text here. Salvation's all of grace. Not only is Christ our reward. Not only is our service to the Lord Jesus Christ motivated by love, not by law. not for us to gain something personal. Salvation's all of grace. Ain't that what our Lord Jesus Christ said here in Matthew 20 and verse 16? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many, many be called, but just a few chosen. Huh? Let me ask you something. From election all the way to glory, what saves you? What elected you? For by grace. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. What for? To the praise and the glory of His grace, when He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And all beloved, from election all the way to glory, salvation is by the grace of God. Look in Romans with me, chapter 4. This is a perfect picture of this right here. Election. This is why people hate election so very much. They despise it because it takes salvation out of their hand, takes salvation out of their will, takes salvation away from their works, takes salvation away from their merit. Election's God's election. It ain't this idea, you know, that God cast a vote, the devil cast a vote. Now you got the cops cast a deciding vote. The devil ain't got no vote. You and I ain't got no vote. Chosen in Christ, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. For whom He loved, He foreknew. Whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. Whom He did predestinate, what did He do? He called them. Justified them. Oh, look at what He said here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, to him that works, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, if a fellow's working, then the reward that he get, don't reckon it of grace, don't count it of grace, but it's a debt. But, now listen to what He said there in verse 5. But, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without what? Without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's two different people there. One who believes and one who works. One, the Lord don't impute sin to him, the one who has a debt. And all, beloved, listen. And I tell you, from election to the conviction of our sin, to that new birth that the Holy Spirit regenerates us and gives us a new heart, a new soul, a new will, a new affections, makes us new creatures in Christ, that same grace that chose us, convicted us, converted us, and regenerated us, sustains us, and it'll take us all the way to glory. As old Mr. Spurgeon said, the first step you take will be by the grace of God, and the last step you take into the portals of glory will be by the grace of God. Why would anyone want a reward for something he had nothing to do with? You certainly don't want to get paid for something you didn't do. Something you had anything to do with. Did Jacob receive a reward when God said, Jacob have a love and Esau have a hater? Oh my, Romans 11:6 says this. If it's of grace, then it's not of works. If it's of works, it's not of grace. It can't be both. Can't be both. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. We His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace. I'll tell you another reason why I don't believe in rewards and glory. I've lost something here. I don't know where I have it somewhere. I'll find it. If I don't, I'll remember. And I'll tell you a reason why Because we're all members of one body. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. We're all members of one body. And how could you bless one member of the body and not bless all members of the body? How could you do that? How could you possibly do that? Look what he says in verse 12. For by one Spirit we all are baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. For as the body is one, verse 12, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being member, so also is Christ. Now let me tell you, since we're all members of one body, all been put into one, how can you bless one member of the body and not bless the whole body? How can you do that? How could you not say something about my body, my whole body, not enjoy them? How could the Lord Jesus reward you without rewarding me? We're all in the same body. We're not in competition. My right hand is not in competition with my left. Nothing in my body is in competition against any other part of it. It's all one. And we're not in competition against one another. He's our head. We're the body. He's the vine. We're the branches. And we're one body. Many members, yet one body. And I know that we give more honors to more parts, to different parts of our body. We pay more attention to our face, our hair, and our clothes to cover the body then. But still yet, that you may give more honor to the head, more honor to the hair, and the things that you can see. But I'll tell you one thing, the rest of the body, you take care of it too, don't you? I'll tell you what, you take care of your toes when you're home by yourself. Oh my. But the hair, beloved, you brag on it and you recognize it. No one asks you about your feet. Nobody asks you about your knees. But I tell you, they're one and the same body. And though some members are more prominent than the others. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ says the last, that last one, he's going to get paid first. And that first one, he's going to get paid last. The 6 a.m., man, you know who those fellas was? That's John the Baptist, Jeremiah, and all them other fellas. The apostles. The apostles. And I tell you, beloved, let me tell you why we know that this is going to be this way. Because of the goodness of God Christ's sovereignty. Look back over in Matthew with me just a moment. Oh, the goodness of Christ's sovereignty towards us. Didn't he say in verse 10, now look what he says. So when even was come, or verse 10, excuse me. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And how many people are going to go? That's what they'll say to the Lord. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Done many wonderful works in your name? Cast out devils in your name? Look at all the things we've done for you. And the Lord say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And then look what he says. He went down there and said, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you made them equal unto us. My. Which have borne the burden, the heat of the day. Now that's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world thinks. If I'm in line first, if I've done more, I want more. But look what he said. But he answered and said unto one of them and said, friend, I did thee no wrong. I've done you no wrong. Do you reckon God's done anybody wrong in this world? You know anybody, you met anybody that God done them wrong? I know they may say he has. But have you ever met anybody that God really did them wrong? I've met people that people have done one another wrong. I've done wrong to people and people have done wrong to me. But we're not talking about the way we treat one another. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about rewards in heaven. And they said, you have nothing. But our Lord saying, you didn't have nothing till I gave you the penny. Huh? I came and got you. You didn't come to me. I come and got you. I come and put you in the vineyard. And you agreed to me. He said, you're standing around idle. You wasn't doing nothing. And you had nothing to offer. I was the one that come and got you and brought you and put you in the vineyard. And then look what he says. Take thine is in verse 13. And I'll give unto this last even as unto thee. Is your eye evil because I'm good? Are you upset with me because I'm going to give everybody the same? Is this fellow that just got started here, and I mean just showed up, worked 1 hour, I'm going to give him the same thing that you did, you worked 11 hours? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Are you going to find fault with me? Huh? Oh, beloved, listen, I'm telling you. And I'll tell you, this is another reason why. I haven't done anything at all. He says, when you've done all that you're supposed to do, you're still an unprofitable servant. Huh? We do just what we're supposed to do. I should love God. I should honor God. I should bless Him. Everything that I got from Him. And I'll tell you another reason. It's that all of our service in and of itself is unacceptable. You reckon you've done anything today that God would accept apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? If you prayed a prayer that God would accept, my preaching, your praying under God's eye is so imperfect, has no merit in it. That's why Paul said, I count everything but dung. I count my whole life but dung, that I may win Christ and know Him and be found in Him. And here's a fellow said, if anybody can boast, then I can boast more than anybody. Do you think I want Christ to mention my service in judgment? Tell oh no, I don't want to mention my service. And all this, listen to me, it's why we ain't going to be no degrees in glory. The ability and gifts for you and I to serve God, to worship God, are all of His grace. They're all of His gifts. What have you got that you didn't receive? Who made you to differ? Huh? David said, or Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And why in the world would anyone want reward for what He gave you the ability to do? If you have anything to give, He gave it to you. Do you have an ability to sing? He gave you the gift. Anybody has any ability to preach? He gave them that ability. They said, David, where's your God? Got eyes here. And He blesses us and rewards us. David said, our God in heaven does whatever He pleases. And let me show you one other thing. I don't mean to take all your time. I don't mean to bore you. I don't mean to... But look over here in 1 Corinthians 3 with me just a moment. I'll be done. You know, to what do you want a reward for? He gave us all the ability to do it. Paul, he said here in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. People are Paul of Apollos and all that. You know, I like his... Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Now listen to it. As the Lord gave to every man. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. You mean Paul and Apollos is nothing? He's what he says.
said, well, he ain't nobody and I ain't nobody.
He says, you know, the Lord gave this to us, but it's God that gives the increase. And all, beloved, and when he talks about those, you know, in the first 3 hours, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. That man at the 11th hour, those who were saved young, saved at 6 o'clock, saved at 9 o'clock, we've been rewarded. We've been blessed with His presence all these years. Oh my. Been blessed with His people. Been blessed with His fellowship. Been blessed with His gospel. And blessed with His grace for all these years. All this good preaching we've heard as we've heard all these men over the years. Oh my. Oh, we've been blessed. But that man at the 11th hour, he missed so much. Go ahead and let him go first. Let him be first. Let him all go on to glory. Let him enjoy what we've been enjoying for years. I don't have no fault with that, do you? Oh my, that thief in glory, that thief that went to Christ, with the glory with Christ on the day that day on the cross, what in the world kind of rewards he gonna get? Oh, my, I'm glad he got to go. Showing how Christ can reach out right at the last moment and save you. But that fellow that come in at the 11th hour, come on, he says, come on. You last ones, you get to go first. You get to go first. And does that bother you that that fellow that come in at the 11th hour, the Lord takes him home sooner than you, and you bore the heat of the day, you started when you was 20 or 25, and you've been on the way now for 30, 35 or 40 years? And you bore the heat of the day and the labor for Christ, but he gets to go home, and he's only been, you know, converted 5, 6, 7 years, maybe 2 years, 1 year, and he's, oh, let him go on me first! Oh, bless the Lord. He got his, you know, he got to be with Christ. It don't bother me one iota, is it you? It's just, you know, I don't care if I'm 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It don't make any difference to me. Just as long as I'm one of God's chosen. That's all that matters. I've agreed to what He gave me, ain't you? I've agreed to what He gives me. Yeah, I agree with you. Lord, here, in my hands, no price I pray. Whatever you put there, I'll be glad to take it. Amen. Our blessed, blessed Father. Oh, gracious God in heaven. Lord, we bless you. The salvation's of grace. That you yourself are our reward. That the people that are converted, the people that believe the gospel, they're our joy, they're our crown, they're our rejoicing. And you, in your blessed grace, you gave all the gifts. You gave the gifts to the preacher. You gave the gifts to the water, the gifts to the sower. But Lord, it's all you that gives the increase. God, teach us this. Never let us vary from this. Never let us turn to the left or the right. No matter what anybody says, thinks, believes, or does. And Lord Jesus, we look forward to being with that multitude that no man could number. We gather around that throne and we sing praises unto you. Everyone there will be washed in white in the blood of the Lamb. Everyone there will be saved by the grace of God. Everyone there will be one for whom Christ died. Everyone there will cease from their labors, no matter whether they're born in the heat of the day or no matter where they come in at the 11th hour. We bless you for that. Oh, how we bless you. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.